Welcome to the first episode of OIC Answers, a podcast from the Washington State Office of the Insurance Commissioner. I'm your host, Aaron Vantile, a communications manager with the OIC's Public Affairs Office. And with me, as always, and hopefully as a regular co-host, is Matt Beatty, also with our Public Affairs Office. Matt, would you like to say anything?
Thank you for having me on, Aaron. Inaugural episode. It's an honor.
Yeah, this is obviously not the first podcast we've done, but a new and exciting adventure. This is a podcast where we welcome on some of our favorite colleagues from the OIC and ask them questions about what they do or their particular area of expertise, and then use that to provide useful information about some aspect of insurance. Our agency protects consumers and regulates the insurance industry, which ranges from setting rules for insurers and taking legal action against companies that don't follow those rules, to approving rate changes, answering questions, and working on behalf of people who are having problems with an insurance company. A big part of our work on behalf of consumers comes through the Statewide Health Insurance Benefits Advisors, which is a mouthful, so we'll be calling it SHIBA from here on out. And since SHIBA is celebrating 45 years this year, we're starting this podcast off with Tim Smolin, the OIC's SHIBA Program Manager. Tim, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Aaron.
So you work primarily with Medicare, and so we're going to split your appearance up into two episodes. The first one, this one, will focus on Medicare and questions people might have about it. And then in the second one, we'll ask you more questions about SHIBA and your work there and what that program does and its successes and things like that. So are you ready to tell Matt and I everything we need to know to prepare for Medicare?
I'm ready. Okay. Morning, Matt.
Morning.
So Medicare is something, despite working here, that I know almost nothing about. But my parents are creeping closer to retirement. That's kind of looming in the distance, like a big ominous cloud. Should I be worried?
You should not be worried. You should not be worried, Aaron. First of all, I'm sure your parents are much more capable than you're giving them credit for.
That's probably true.
We have this phenomenon where young people have this diminishing opinion about their older parents and friends. And generally, they deserve more credit than we're giving them. So I think don't worry. And also don't worry because the SHIBA program is here to help them if it gets beyond what you're capable of.
All right. At what age do people really need to start learning about Medicare?
Well, this is an interesting question. You know, one of the first, I would say almost no one knows anything about Medicare. So that's unfortunate. But again, that's our opportunity to be of service. But a common misconception about Medicare is that it is for older people. But in fact, about almost 20% of people in Medicare are enrolled because they're younger disabled people.
Okay.
So so for a lot of people, you know, the question is about whether you're aging into Medicare or you're qualifying by virtue of disability. So for the 80% of the population who are qualifying by age, that's age 65.
Okay.
So typically, I'd say, you know, a couple of years ahead of retirement is the right time to start thinking about it.
So how do you sign up? Do you need to actively sign up, or like does the government just take care of all that for you? Will I get a letter in the mail that's like, hey, welcome, you're in Medicare now?
Yeah. You know, almost no one thinks the government takes care of anything for them. And so True. That's a there's a little challenge there. But, you know, this is a good point for people that are trying to get ready, and another sort of common misconception about Medicare. So historically, the Medicare age was age 65, and the full retirement age was age 65. But, you know, within the past little while, we've separated those two systems. So eligibility for Medicare is still pegged to age 65, but for folks like me, you know, my full benefit for Social Security will not come until 67, and for younger people like you, it's going to be closer to age 70. And so whether you're going to be automatically enrolled depends upon whether you've already signed up to receive a Social Security retirement benefit.
Okay. So what do you need to sign up, like documentation-wise? Do you need a lot of paperwork?
No, it's awfully simple to get started. Again, this is going to be easier, and this will be a theme of our conversation, but easier for people that have a little bit of experience with technology. So okay. If you're already receiving a Social Security benefit, or if you sign up to start your Social Security benefit at the same time as your Medicare, you'll be automatically enrolled. You're going to get a little red, white, and blue Medicare card in the mail from them, and you're kind of off to the races. If you're electing to wait to enroll in Social Security, then you're going to have to affirmatively enroll yourself. And again, the easiest way to do that is online. You go to the socialsecurity.gov website. You can also call. You can visit a local office to do that.
Is the socialsecurity.gov website difficult to use, or is it fairly simple?
It's fairly simple.
Okay.
Props to them.
All right. That's great. Now, I understand there's several parts of Medicare. What are they, and why don't we just get the whole thing? And by we, of course, I mean people qualifying for Medicare, not everyone.
Right, right. So it's a great question, and it's an interesting kind of case study in the evolution of the Medicare program. You know, you did in your intro, you know, that this is we are the insurance commissioner's office. We regulate the insurance industry, and sometimes it can be hard for people to think about Medicare as insurance because they think about it more like it's this broad-based sort of social safety net, and it's an entitlement that takes care of all of their health care needs. But the reality is it's an insurance program. When Medicare started in 1965, you know, it was a political solution to a political problem. So the idea was it was made to look like contemporary Blue Cross Blue Shield and programs of the time. So Blue Shield was medical care and Blue Cross was hospital care. So essentially we have Medicare Part A hospital insurance and Medicare Part B medical insurance because that's what was in the world in 1965.
Okay. There's original Medicare and Medicare Advantage. Medicare Advantage is Part C, is that correct?
It is correct. So, right, so the advent of the program then was that we had Medicare Part A and Part B, which we now refer to as original Medicare, until the 1990s when we had the advent of, at the time, what were called Medicare Plus Choice plans, and now we call them Medicare Advantage plans or Medicare Part C. So it was intended to be an alternative to the original Medicare system, and it was really about reining in kind of Medicare spending and offering more consumer choice. So, you know, across the 1970s and 80s, we had the advent of HMOs and PPOs, health maintenance organizations, and preferred provider organizations. And so Medicare, again, was adapting to where the commercial market was. And so starting in the 90s, then we had the option for people to choose original Medicare or Medicare Advantage plans.
Is one better than the other?
One better than the other is among the top five most common questions that we get for our program and for our volunteers. And the answer is it's a very personal decision. We can help you to compare it at a high level. What people favor about original Medicare is the broad freedom of choice that they have because, in fact, the Medicare Advantage plans are managed care plans, you know, by definition. Mm-hmm. What people generally prefer about those is they provide more benefits than original Medicare, and the focus of people's attention these days is vision, hearing, dental services, and they generally have a lower monthly premium and lower out-of-pocket expenses. So that fundamentally is the trade-off.
Okay. And then in a similar vein, there is Medicare Parts A, Part B, and Part D.
There is. So more recently than, and I'm sure your listeners are aware, than we introduced prescription drug coverage into the Medicare program. Again, this is kind of a, you know, the trajectory is, you know, making the program work better for people, considering, you know, where we started in 1965. And so Medicare inclusion of prescription drug coverage was done exclusively through private insurance companies. So it looks more like Medicare Part C than it does like Medicare Part A or B. So you can choose to have your Medicare Part D or prescription drug benefits either through managed care plans, so these Medicare Advantage or Part C plans, or in the original Medicare program, you can sign up for a standalone prescription drug plan to complement your Medicare coverage.
What are Parts A and B?
A is hospital and B is medical.
Okay. And so can you sign up like a pick and choose? Is this like a dinner option, or do you get all of them?
It is. It's like a smorgasbord. Okay. Yeah. So, and this is another very common question that we get, which is because a lot of people are feeling, you know, hale and hearty, and they want to keep working past age 65. Do I have to sign up for Medicare when I turn age 65? And the answer is you don't. And typically, if you're working and you're covered under an employer plan, for instance, if you work in state government or for a large employer, then you have the option of deferring starting your Medicare Part B. So you could sign up for Medicare Part A, but wait to sign up for Medicare Part B until you're retired, and then face that option about, do I want to be an original Medicare or a Medicare Advantage plan? So we have lots of people who have just Part A, just Part B, right? So yeah, that it's a bit of a smorgasbord.
Okay. Another question I assume you've heard quite a few times. How much does Medicare cost?
Yep, we get that question all the time. So a little complexity about that and a little bit of a preview of maybe a space where we can help people. So the cost that people are most aware of is the Medicare Part B premium. Again, this takes care of your doctor's office visits. And for most people, this is a deduction that they have from their Social Security check. In 2024, when we're recording this, the standard Part B premium is about $175 per month. Mm-hmm. But there are people who pay a higher premium based on having a higher gross income, and we refer to that as the IRMA, IR, income-related monthly adjustment amount. And there are folks who pay a lower or no premium for Medicare Part B because they qualify for what we call the Medicare Savings Program. So people with a very high income pay a surcharge, and people with a very low income can have a subsidized or zero premium.
Speaking of money, is Medicare going to run out of money?
No, Medicare is not going to run out of money. This is, again, a common question that we get. So, back to the kind of prehistory of the program, financing for Medicare Part A is through a payroll tax. I'm sure you and Matt are aware. You have a deduction on your paycheck that mm-hmm. goes to fund Medicare Part A. And so it's kind of like current workers are paying for current beneficiaries. Medicare Part B financing is more a pay-as-you-go system. So when you retire, your Part B premium is coming out of your Social Security check. And what people don't realize, because that feels like a lot of money, $175, is that in fact, you're being subsidized to the tune of three quarters. So for every dollar you're putting in, the government is putting in $3. So every year when we talk about entitlement spending, what we're really talking about is that Medicare Part B premium. So it's always going to be the subject of hot debate, and it's always going to get funded because seniors vote.
It's great to know. Matt, do you have any questions?
No, it's good to know because my dad is still working, so and my mom is retired. So they're in like this weird middle ground where they're still covered by my dad's insurance. But eventually, when he retires, I'm sure they'll get on the Medicare plan. So
that's right. And that is a very common arrangement, and something that people don't always appreciate about Medicare is that when you get to Medicare, it's an individual policy. So your mom will have a policy and your dad will have a policy, and they may or may not choose the same kind of insurance. And another common question we get is, of course, about retiree health insurance coverage, because those premiums are just on this rate escalator, right? The prices keep going up. And so should I stay in my group? Should I leave my group? What are the consequences of doing that? And we would welcome all those kinds of questions.
All right. And if somebody wants to ask you these questions, how can they get a hold of the SHEPA program?
Well, we have a terrific website, which you can reach at insurance.wa.gov and look for SHEBA or put Medicare in the search engine. You can also call us at 1-800-562-6900. We live answer that 9 hours a day, 5 days a week, except for holidays, and you'll be referred to talk to a local volunteer.
All right. Anything else you want to mention before we get out of here for this episode?
Well, just as we look ahead to the next episode, and thanks for this conversation, a lot of people are very concerned about fraud in the Medicare program. Mm-hmm. So we do operate the Senior Medicare Patrol Program, which the mission is prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. And as more people become more comfortable with technology, encourage people to check out ssa.gov and medicare.gov and consider creating personalized accounts for themselves, both to stay informed and be prepared, and also to watch out for billing statements that might alert them to fraudulent activity.
All right. Thank you so much, Tim.
My pleasure, Aaron.
This has been OIC Answers. You can follow the OIC on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads. And like Tim mentioned, visit insurance.wa.gov to learn more about our work.